Well, I feel honored to be here. I'm in great company. It is so good to be here with you, to see you again after all this time. And I bring you greetings from the church, Kitchens Creek. And also Marion Stoniker said to tell all of you hello. And I know she would enjoy being here with you tonight. And, you know, I was sitting there, Clay, you're here. I met his grandparents and his mother. I don't remember when it was. I know Henry and I were preaching in North Louisiana. And they came down to the meeting. And but just small world, come to find out that Clay's grandfather and my mother, your dad's dad, went to school together in Thornton, Arkansas. That's where they live, both families. And I told my mother that who I had met, she said, "Oh, my sister had such a crush on him." So we came real close to being husbands-in-law, Clay, you know. Never know how close some of those things. But I remember I called my mother, and I forgot your grandpa's name now. But what's his first name? No. Yeah, T.P. Curtis. T.P. Curtis. I called my mother and I said, "Do you know T.P. Curtis?" And, oh, you know, it's just one of those things you don't forget. But it's a small world. Marvin, known you so long. And first time I met Marvin, we went to his mother's house and she fixed us the greatest cup of coffee I had ever drank. You make it in a sock. There's just something about it. It's good. And I had drank it in Mexico, but I didn't know that anybody in the States knew how to make coffee in a sock like that. But good coffee. And I was loaded down with it. You can get a boy out of Louisiana, so I get to Louisiana the boy, though. And I brought him. Did you count him? 30. Oh, he grew. 30 pounds. He said, "Now, my mother said she is sending 20 sacks of coffee. There better be 20 sacks of coffee in there when I look in there." And so I'm glad it grew. I'm glad there was more. Must have been those big bags of coffee. Psalm 23. Brother Don Fortner and Shelby and the congregation there send their love. Brother Donnie Bell and Mary at Crossville and the congregation send their love to you. And we had been a great week. We left Sunday afternoon after church and drove up to Meridian, Mississippi. And then on Tuesday we drove up to north of Nashville on Tuesday, went to Danville. And on Wednesday, we went back south a little bit down to Crossville. And then yesterday came up to Ashland. And it's just been great. Been a great trip. And now to be here with y'all, what a blessing. These words of this psalm, the title of my message tonight are found in these first words: "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord is my shepherd. But it's also the comfort of my heart to know that the Lord is my shepherd. It's my statement of faith. Jehovah is my shepherd. It's the theme of my preaching, theme of everything that I have to say to you. It's the strength of my life. It's my eternal hope that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The first thing the psalmist David tells us here is who God is. He's Jehovah. Now, Jehovah is God in Christ. He can only be merciful and gracious to us in Christ. It's only mentioned 4 times in the Scriptures, the name Jehovah. But when you read Lord in the King James Version, it's Jehovah. It's Jehovah, where the translators determined to do it. And it's usually spelled in caps, large and small capital letters. In the Spanish Bible, it's always translated Jehovah. But that's who He is. Now, who is this? You know, in Exodus chapter 6, the Lord spoke to Moses and He said to him, I am the Lord, Jehovah. He said, I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Though our Lord said, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced in it. But then in Exodus 34, he passed by and he declared himself, and this is what he said, the Lord, Jehovah. The Lord, Jehovah. God, Elohim, the strong one, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. That's Jehovah. This great Jehovah, who is merciful, who is gracious, will by no means clear the guilty, for if He pardoned the guilty without the satisfaction of that sin debt being made, we would have no hope. No hope whatsoever. If He were just to arbitrarily pass by sin, we would have no hope. Because He could arbitrarily pass by us. He's not going to do it. This work of grace, it's not the frustrated desire with God, something that He wishes to accomplish if we'd let Him. But it's who He is, and it's how He deals with His people. He's Jehovah. And you know His name is found in every verse in this psalm. All six verses. Verse 1, we find Jehovah Rahi, my shepherd. Verse 1, Jehovah Jireh, He will provide. Verse 2, Jehovah Shalom, my peace. Verse 3, Jehovah Rapha, He heals. Verse 3, we also find Jehovah Tzedkenu, my righteousness. Verse 4 again, we find Jehovah Shalom, my peace. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. My peace, Thou art with me. In verse 5, Jehovah Nissi, my banner. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And around me He puts all of His forces. And you just have to picture an army that's standing battle ready there. They put their banner there. It's who we are. Mine enemies, they can't touch me. In the presence of mine enemies, my banner. Verse 6, Jehovah Shammah, the ever-present one. That's who He is. This is my shepherd. This is my shepherd. Now, who am I here? Sheep. Sheep. You know, people think, oh, that's so nice to be called sheep. But it's no accident that the Lord God of heaven calls His people sheep. You know, there are about 570 references to sheep in the Scriptures. When you read about sheep, you study sheep. I've never dealt with sheep, but I did a lot of reading about sheep in order to get some understanding of us being called sheep. And when you look at sheep, they have some very peculiar characteristics, some unusual traits that are not found in other animals. But it's probably the dumbest animal that ever lived, the dumbest animal that ever walked on the face of this earth, a sheep. Do you know that they say that a sheep will put out its head and start eating and walk over a cliff and fall to its death without ever raising its head up? That's how dumb it is. It's a dumb animal. You ever seen a trained sheep? You ever seen a sheep in a circus? It's an animal that's afraid of the simplest things. They will not drink from noisy, rushing water. It has no defense. Can't see well. Can't hear well. Can't run well. You know, here, it was last fall sometime, I go over to a detention center. It's filled with federal detainees, illegal. Not only just wetbacks. They come from all over the world. They've come to the U.S. Some were just picked up and found out that they were illegal. Most part, they've committed a crime, and after they served their sentence, some have been in prison 10, 15, 20 years. They've served their sentence, and now they're taken to these detention centers. They're federal detainees, and they're held there for usually, it takes about a week to process them through the system. And then they're turned over to ICE, Immigration Custom Enforcement, which is now a part of Homeland Security. ICE takes them and puts them on U.S. Marshall airplanes, JPATs, and they export them, deport them to all over the world. One, and I get to go there and preach every once in a while. Really, I got to go there and preach because 99.9% of them are Hispanic who speak no Spanish. So I got invited to go preach to them. And I've been over a number of times, but you can go every week, and you'll preach to 500 different men. Well, not 500. I wish they'd all come. Usually about 125 every time you go. If you see 125 this week, next week, it'll be a brand new group. Those have already been deported. But I always have to ask, is there anybody in here that doesn't speak Spanish? Most of the time, there are none. But one night, one man, he's back in the back, he said, "I don't speak Spanish." I said, "Well, come up here at the front." I said, "Sit down right there." They meet in the chow hall, and so they just sit on the benches there along the tables in the chow hall. And I said, "Come up front." And I did a bilingual service. I don't like to do it. It gives me a headache. My brain has two gears, English and Spanish, and they don't mesh well. There's a clash in there between those gears, but I do it. You know, you say part of it in Spanish, and then you say it in English, and then you say it in English, and you say part of it, and you know, say it in Spanish, and back and forth. But anyway, I brought up that about these sheep. And this man, he was from West Africa. After the service, he spoke fairly good English, heavily accented. He came up and he said, and I can't talk like he did. When I talk, he's going to sound like a Texan. But he didn't sound like a Texan. He said, "Brother," he said, "sheep have one defense, one way to defend themselves." I said, "Really, what is it?" He said, "When they stick together." He said the lion is afraid of them when they're in that flock together. He said the lion thinks it's a great big animal. And the lion won't fool with them. They get one separated and they go after it. But he said, they will not fool with those sheep. Even the mighty lion, when they're all together, I thought, man, well, that's us, isn't it? We can't go out on our own. We can't turn our back on Christ. We can't walk off for whatever reason. Sheep, that's what we are. Sheep. Sheep will lose itself. It'll walk off. It will. What a shame it is when it does. It's weak. It dies so easily. They depend on the shepherd. Totally dependent on that shepherd for all their needs. John 10 said it in a stranger's voice, they will not follow. My sheep know my voice and they follow me. And I could go on. I read books on this. I could go on and on, tell you stories that I read about how they kept them, but they're so, just let it suffice, say how dependent they are on this shepherd. That's us, sheep. And we depend on Jehovah as our shepherd. Now, what's he done for us? Everything. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, in our English today, we have changed the meaning of that word, want. The word means I will lack nothing. We have want meaning desire today, but it means I will lack nothing. He supplies everything that I need. I shall not want. Oh, if we could ever distinguish between what we don't need and what we don't have. If we could learn to distinguish between those things. We could learn to distinguish between absence and lack. You know, I came over here today and I didn't have an umbrella. But I didn't need one, did I? It wasn't raining. But if I came over here and it's pouring down rain and I didn't have an umbrella, then that's what absence is. That's what lack is. That's what need is. The first case with the sun shining, it's just absence. I don't have it. But if it's pouring down rain and I don't have it, then I have a lack. I have a want. I have a need. And we lack nothing for His glorifying us here and eternity. Now the wicked always lacks, but not the righteous. I shall, and that shall, always distinguishing the Scriptures between the shalls and the wills. The will declares His power. Shall declares His promise to us. He's promised. His sheep won't lack. And then look what else He does for us. Verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Lie down. He leads us in the pastures of His Word. You know, I talk to so many, they say, I just don't understand the Bible. I read it. And I read it. And I don't understand it. But you know, it's not the words of the Bible that give us trouble. 90% of the words in the Bible are one and two syllable words. That's so simple. That's baby talk. That's not our problem. You know, you just look at the account of creation. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. Every one of them a one-syllable word. It's the scriptural truth of that expression that we don't understand. And that part we'll never understand until the Holy Spirit of God reveals it to us. You know, there was a radio station there in Alexandria, Pineville, Louisiana area. It's gone now, but when I went there, they came on the air at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I used to set my alarm to wake me up just so I could turn the radio on to hear them come on. They came on every morning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Oh, I love to hear those words every morning. People don't believe it today. It's so simple. But we're like that little bird sitting up there on that telephone wire. He sits on it. He's supported by it. He trusts all of his weight to it, but he doesn't have an idea in the world what the message is running through those wires. And that's the way religious people are. This book, it becomes a sort of a religious icon to them. They say, I believe every word written here. I even believe the covers of it. Oh, this is my hope right here. And they have no idea what it says. No idea whatsoever. Oh, he leads me. He leads me in the green pastures where his word is faithfully preached. He'll lead me to a place where he has a man that faithfully proclaims this word. He leads me to join together with the saints of glory. He leads me beside still waters. He gives me peace in my heart. And he says here in verse 3, he restores my soul. He does everything for me. When my soul strays, he brings me back. When my soul's sorrowful, he revives it. When my soul is weak, he strengthens me. He leads. He leads. You know, Moses drives us by the law. But the Lord Jesus Christ leads us by His mercy and His love. When I was still living in Mexico, preaching the gospel, one time my dad came down to visit me, and he was in his early 80s when he came down, spent 2 weeks with us, and we rode all over the country down there. And he spent 2 weeks saying, I've never seen anything like that in my whole life. One day we was riding down the road, and he said, I've never seen anything like that in my whole life. And I said, what is it? He said, look over here. He said, there's sheep and goats in the same herd over there. That's what he called them. I looked over there. I said, look again, Dad. They're not together. That shepherd's in the middle chunking rocks at those goats trying to keep them in line. And those sheep are right behind him, following him. They're not together. They're not together. And I tell you what, there's some that's the only way they stay in line. They got to have somebody chunking rocks at them all the time, keeping them in line. But you know what sheep do? They follow the shepherd. They follow the shepherd. Oh, he leads us in the paths of righteousness. These paths that are always adorned with the trees of holiness, always watered with the fountains of comfort. How refreshing that is. And these ways, they always terminate in everlasting rest. And why does he do it? For his name's sake. Because he's Jehovah, he changes not. The only reason we hadn't been consumed. Now I'm amazed whenever he says, Jacob. Generally, when he calls us sons of Jacob, that's not a very complimentary thing either. And that's what he says, what Malachi says, I am Jehovah, I change not. For this reason, you sons of Jacob, you hadn't been consumed. Because he doesn't change. He doesn't change. He's promised. when he had promised, he swore an oath to it. And when he could find none greater, he swore by himself. He will fulfill. And he does it because of his mercy and his grace to us. Verse 4, he said, yea, though I walk, not running, running's a lack of trust in him. I walk. Running is a confiding in my own strength. I walk. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, this valley of which the psalmist is speaking here, it's a valley that's in Palestine, and it lies between Jerusalem and the Dead Sea. It's just south of Jericho. And what I read about it, they said it's only about 12 feet wide at its widest point. And they'd take the sheep through this valley to get to the green pastures. This valley plunges from like 2,700 feet above sea level to something like 400 feet below sea level. It's a scary place. It was dark, the shadows made this a dark place. And that's reading, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, we're alive this evening. And to those that are alive, death is a scary thing. But did you know that that's the reason he called it here a shadow? Because shadows can't hurt us. Whether it's the shadow of a sword or the shadow of an animal, it can't hurt us. It's just a shadow. Now, he doesn't say there will be no evil. It just says that there's a shadow. It's a shadow. Can't hurt you. When I first went to Ball, Louisiana, from my back door to the office door at the church is 140 steps. Well, at one time when we were working on getting our insurance changed over, the lady said, do you use your vehicle to drive back and forth to work? I said, no, I don't. She said, how do you get to work? I said, I walk. She said, good for you. I said, ma'am, it's only 140 steps. It's no big deal. Not like walking a couple of miles. You know, it's only 140 steps. But I can remember one of the first nights everybody had left after service and I'd closed up the building. And I started walking back across the churchyard over to the yard, the house. And man, this dog, that thing was about 10 feet tall. And he had a voice on him like an elephant. And he started barking at me. I couldn't see him. All I knew, there was a hedgerow there. And I thought, man, that thing is fixing to eat me alive. But he didn't. I went on home. The next day, I surveyed out where that dog was. There was a fence there behind that hedge, those hedges. He couldn't get to me. He could only go so far. That was it. He's on a chain. He wasn't on a chain, but he was on a chain. He could only go so far. He couldn't get to me. What was it? It was just noise. It was a shadow. The shadow of death. And that's the way the Lord God of heaven has Satan. He can't get to us. You know, you read over in Job, he said, Satan went before the Lord. He said, I can't touch Job. You've got a hedge around him. He does, doesn't he? He does. Can't hurt us. You know, it's not death, really. What we call death is a deliverance from death. This is death. We're dead men walking. This is death. This life we live is death. What is this thing called death? It's a door to life. But can you imagine that in that day, we're going to look death in the face and call it friend, embrace it as a friend? You know why? The sting's gone. Death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sting's gone. Oh, I love to tell this story. You probably heard it, but I forgot. I'm going to tell it again. One of the benefits of age, you know. We're permitted these liberties. One time, you know, we in Mexico, where we live, on the Pacific coast, right down on the Guatemalan border, we had 4 months of rain and 8 months of dry season. 4 months of rain, we'd get about 120 inches of rain, and then we'd go 8 months, not a drop would fall, not even dew. And it would get so dry. March and April and May were the hottest months of the year for us. The sun was on its journey north again, right over the top of us. That was our hottest summer. We had another hot summer in October when it would head south again, but this was the hottest one. And it was so dry. But then, the 1st of June, the rains would start. And the scorpions would come out. Now, I don't know if y'all have scorpions up here. We do. Louisiana, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona. I know they're all over that country. That scorpion, they say that along with the cockroach are two of the oldest surviving species that's known. They're right in there with the dinosaurs. But it's got that tail that curves up. Got that stinger right on the tip of that tail. And if you mess with it, it throws that tail forward and it hits you. And you feel like you've just been stabbed with a hot ice pick. One night I was gone. Rains had started, and these things seemed like it just come out of the wall. I don't know where they lived. But Claudia, she rolled over and got hit twice in bed, and right in the middle of her back by them. Tongue swelled up. It gets a little scary sometimes. But what I want to tell you is I was in a man's office. A good friend of mine. We were drinking coffee one evening. He was sitting at his desk, and I was just kind of leaning up against the desk across from him. You know, we just shooting the breeze, drinking coffee, and this scorpion crawled across the floor. And he had a aluminum ruler laying on his desk. He picked up that ruler, and he came around, and he put it on top of that scorpion. And then he rolled it over, and with the edge of that ruler, he just clipped off that stinger. And I'm sitting there. Leaning up against that desk, watching him. And then he runs that ruler underneath that scorpion like that, picks up and throws it at me. And it hit me right here in the chest. And I don't know if I hit my chest with my hands trying to get it off of me or my heart tried to come out. I didn't want to embrace that scorpion, knowing that it didn't have a stinger. And you know, that's the way we are. Being alive about death. We're alive. We don't want to embrace. It's hard to understand right now, isn't it? But we know that the sting is gone. The sting of this death is sin. And the strength of that sin is God's holy law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. One day we'll be able to look infinite justice in the face with a cheerful heart. Death is going to see a friend. It's not going to our execution. There is a shadow. But you know why there's a shadow? Because there's light. You take light away, there's no shadow. There's light. There's light. Those that are in darkness, they see no shadow.
Oh, but the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, the life, the bread, the light, the water of life. On and on. He said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The Lord Jesus Christ died without God. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But we die in Him. We die with Him. And omnipotent love must fail before one sheep would ever perish. Oh, but what a scary place that valley had to be for those sheep. But they followed the shepherd. You know, I marked this over here, and you don't have to turn over. But in Isaiah 43, the prophet said, But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee, since thou wast precious in my sight. Oh, He looked on us, polluted in our blood when none wanted us. We were cast out to the open field to die. He looked on us in love and He said, Live. He said, Live. And He took us, and He washed us, and He decked us out, precious in His sight. Thou hast been honorable, and I've loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, people for thy life. Fear not, for I'm with thee. I'll bring thy seed from the east, gather thee from the west. Say to the north, give up. To the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the end of the earth, even every one that's called by my name. For I've created him for my glory. I formed him. Yea, I have made him. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because he is with me, my Savior, my Christ, my love. That's where David found his hope. You know, I read about the Apostle Paul. Never once did he call himself a prisoner of those Romans, did he? He was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I think about Peter over in Acts chapter 12. I always wonder. I know Peter slept well. The Scriptures tell us that he was asleep that night, chained between those guards, and the other guards were keeping the doors of the prison. Said Peter was sleeping. I always thought, I wonder if Herod slept that good that night. I don't believe he did. But Peter did. He said, Thou art with me. Verse 5 says, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Lord, you set it up. You put the banner of your army there for all to see. What do, I just sit down in comfort as though nothing were going on. I trust you. I trust you. Like I said, Job was hedged about from his enemies. And you know what the sad part is? My enemies see my comfort. They see my rest. They envy it. They envy my rest. They envy my peace. They get frustrated by it. They can't penetrate it. They can't stop it. We have a propitiation put there. Oh, that's Christ. A propitiation is like the roof on this building. Poor example, but it if it had helped us to understand it, let it rain. We're dry. It all fell on Christ, our propitiation. We have Him put there by God for us, and nothing can touch us. Evil men can't hurt believers. Just remember, evil men, they're still just men. God's still God. He anoints my head with oil. You know, this is how they serve. They showed their love and respect for a guest that came into their house. They anointed them with oil to refresh them. And he said, my cup runneth over. They took that guest and they set him down and they served him an overflowing cup of wine. It was just a symbol to show them, while you're my guest, you'll lack nothing. There's an overflowing abundance of everything. And not just abundancy, there's redundancy. It ran over, it runneth. It continually runs over. Surely, oh my, if the Lord is my shepherd, if he's your shepherd, you go through this, all five verses, and you have to come to this conclusion. Verse 6, surely, goodness and mercy. I read one writer, I forget who it was. He said, Lord has some sheepdogs. And he said, I can tell you their name. One named Goodness, one named Mercy. And they keep me. They keep me. Your provision and your pardon, they follow me. Through all the mercies of God bestowed upon him, David came to be persuaded of the continuance of this favor of God toward him. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I don't want to dwell in a house of my own building. But in his house, in Christ, his pleasure, in Christ, his will, in Christ, his work, in Christ, and be there forever. Dwell, not just passing by, staying in a hotel overnight. Not come back again till next year. Told the men when I left Sunday, I said, well, y'all be sure and water all the Easter lilies that show up Sunday. I wish they would. But you do get some. Every once in a while, they show up about once a year. I don't want to just pass through. I want to dwell there. Dwell in the house of the Lord.